Karen Laritz says everyone deals with tough relationships, but everyone also can lean on the hope God provides.
And I don't know what your issue is, whether it's with your husband, your children, you just see no hope. Can you believe me? That there is hope. If God can save a little black girl from the streets of Philadelphia, a woman that was involved in ministry, that had an emotional meltdown, and he still loves me, what is it that he can't do?
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, May 3rd.
Is there someone in your life that when you think about them or you hear their name or you picture them in your mind, that the thought of them immediately brings up some past hurt or offense? Karen Laritz had a person like that in her life. She came to realize how bitter she was and how destructive that bitterness could be. Karen's about to share hope in how you can be free from bitterness and unforgiveness. We're going to listen today to the second part of a message that Karen gave at the very first True Woman Conference in 2008. Yesterday, Karen talked about fear and the temptations that accompany fear. If you missed that message, I hope you'll hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Now let's listen as Karen explains how you can be free from fear and bitterness.
So let me suggest to you out of those verses, James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, six imperatives. And I'd like for you, if you're taking notes or if you're marking your Bible, to mark them. First imperative, he says, submit therefore to God. I don't know about you, but I had to wave the flag. Say, God, I surrender. I submit to you. I'm not smart enough to pull this off. But it comes with a heart attitude that says, God, I surrender to you. Bending the knee. As I was going through my emotional meltdown, I had so much pride that I couldn't even tell my best friends. I have this group of women that we've been best friends, pregnant together, potty training together, nursery school together, baby showers, weddings, and graduation, the whole gamut. Now we're grandmothers together, 14 of us. I couldn't even tell them, and we were having our retreat, and I would just do the regular kinds of everything's fine. God nailed me on that. He says, Karen, you have to put everything out on the table. Submit therefore to God. Second thing is resist the devil. And he will do what, ladies? He will flee. It doesn't say he might flee. God says you resist the devil and he will flee. You take your stand against the devil. You just say, devil, you know what? As I was talking to myself, no more am I going to become a victim of the enemy. I am a victor through Christ. So you need to take a stand. You need to wear the armor of God and say, God, I'll submit to you, but also I'm going to resist the enemy. Third thing he says, draw near to God. I knew that. In the midst of my emotional meltdown, I was still having my quiet times. I have no idea where those prayers went. I have no ideas even today what I was reading. They were empty words. Do you understand what I'm saying? God says, submit, surrender. Put aside that pride and that arrogance. Just know everything. Resist the devil. Resist the temptation to have those pity parties all the time. To believe those fear buddies that you're nothing. That when your kids leave, your life ends. When your husband walks out on you. God says, resist the devil. He says, draw near to me in that quiet time, those quiet moments, those prayer times. Draw near to God and ask God to bring someone into your life that can pray with you and for you. A fourth thing he says, draw near to God, verse 8, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Two things about this. Deal with sin. Public and it's external and cleansing your hands. 1 John 1:9. I understood about 1 John 1:9, but here was the deal. For many years, I was a bitter and angry woman. Now, verbally, I wasn't angry, but bitterly I was. And I was really bitter towards my mom. My mom did a bad job. She could not give me what she did not have, but I could not forgive her. And I remember we had moved down from Pennsylvania to Texas to be involved in church planting. And I was sitting there just hashing through all the trash that had been involved in my life growing up and why my mother didn't raise me this way, why I'm struggling so hard as a believer to really grasp this thing about love, making that good commitment to God. How come I wasn't feeling the presence of God in my life? And I knew that it was because I was harboring bitterness and anger towards my mom. So I sat down and wrote my mom a letter to let her know that I loved her. She knew that I was a Christian, but she never heard from me how much I loved her in spite of who I was. Not condemning her, but putting it back on myself. And I remember saying, "I just love you, Mom." My mother never responded to that letter. I saw her like a week after that letter. She never hugged me or thanked me, but I knew that she saw because I saw it open on her dresser. And that was okay because I had a burying party. 1 John 1:9 says, when you cleanse your hand, 1 John 1:9, you do two things. You confess it, specifically tell God, "God, I am angry and bitter with my mom and how she raised me." But then repentance means I had to turn my back on what I thought was my right to be bitter and walk away from that. And that, ladies, was freedom. But I had to forgive my mom. I had to release her so that I can just look her in the eye and tell her with a clean heart that I loved her. It was as though someone had opened a prison door and let me walk out. 1 John 1:9, when it says here in James that cleanse your hands, do business about your sin. Name it. But it also says to purify your hearts. I take that to mean our attitudes. It says in the Psalms, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. We have to have the right motives. Holiness of heart and mind and thought and emotions. The inside me need to tell the story on how the outside looks. So cleanse your hands, do business about your sin, and purify your hearts with an attitude. And last but not least, in verse 10, it says, humble yourselves. Humility was not a big thing for me. Like I said, I had a lot of pride, but it's something when God gets your attention. And during my emotional meltdown time, I was getting through October, I was coming up in the month of November, and my month of November is my birthday month, and I always go and have all those tests that you need to have. You know? The OB guy, the GP guy, all these letters and things like that. And I went to my OBGYN guy, my little fibroid tumor was staying, you know, wasn't growing too much. I was cleared for that. Then I had to go to my mammogram. You know what I mean? Time to get that old mammogram. And I went, and for the first time, I always get it year by year, I got a call back. He said, "Miss Laritz, you need to come in because we need to check your mammogram. Something showed up." And wouldn't you know it, they couldn't fill me in for 3 weeks. So my little fear buddies surrounded me and distort reality. That first one I talked about was doing a number on me. And so I was trying to be good. I says, "No, I'm not going to fear. It was just a misunderstanding with the mammogram." And so I prayed through that. Then I went to my GP guy, general practitioner, and of all the things, he told me I needed to lose weight, that my cholesterol was going out the roof, and I watched my blood pressure. So now I'm walking around the mall, I become a mall walker, and I thought I had at least 10 more years to join the other ladies, and I'm walking in the mall, and crying, says, "God, what's happening? I'm having an emotional meltdown in October, now a physical breakdown in November." Can I get through this year? So God had my attention. And it's with me, I don't know about you, but with me, it seems as though when crises come in my life, those challenges, is always like a buffet. It's never like, here's one little thing you have to worry about. It's always a buffet of stuff. And God got my attention. He got my attention. Well, just to clear up, the mammogram was fine. I'm still walking the malls. Genetics. But God, he brought me through that. Because my fear was trying to victimize me. And I thought that I was just reaching the top of the mountain, you know, and I was almost through. And November came. God is an incredible God. And the only one that I could talk to, not my girlfriends, I don't want to bore Crawford with that because I don't want to fix anything. I had to fix it. Stop listening to yourself. Start talking to yourself. I don't know what you have to do, but I had to go in my bathroom and talk, look in the mirror. And say, Karen, you know what? You're a wimp. Been doing a lot of whining, a lot of lying, because you're telling everybody else in these conferences all the great things about God, and look at your life. I had a good talking with myself. And so I says, God, I surrender. I don't know what to do. But I know that you know, and you know what to do. You do it, God. God got my attention. Well, everything checked out. My body was okay. The little fibroid's still there. We've still been working on a little fibroid. But I want to tell you that I just love what Dr. Piper said. Wimpy theology makes you a wimpy woman. This is the only thing that makes sense. This is the only thing that makes sense. God is a God that loves us. And I don't know what your issue is, whether it's with your husband, your children, your family, or like with my mother, and you just see no hope. Can you believe me? That there is hope. If God can save a little black girl, from the streets of Philadelphia, from public housing, a woman that was involved in ministry, that had an emotional meltdown, and he still loves me. What is it that he can't do? What is it? There's nothing our God can't do. Let me close with this. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses is dead. Big Moses, he's gone. So God has to talk to the new man in charge, and he tells Joshua, Joshua, and of all things I want to say three things to you. This is Karen paraphrase. Three things I want to say to you, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed, because God is with you. And I don't know about you. Get your hands up. God, I surrender to you. Ladies, we have to be strong. We have to be courageous. Stop listening to yourself. Talk to yourself. Talk to God. Let's pray. God, you are a God that's incredible. You are the only one that can help us to be strong and courageous. But God, we have to do our part. We have to stop listening to the junk. We have to talk to ourselves about the God that we know. Father, you called us to submit to you, and with humble hearts, humble ourselves under your mighty care. Lord, I pray this for my sisters here. Lord, that whatever buffet of stuff that they may have to go through, may they not crumble under the weight of anything but the word of God, because you're a good father We won't embarrass you. We won't embarrass our families. We won't embarrass ourselves because we're going to believe you, who you are. Give us a resolve to believe. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's Karen Loritz speaking at the True Woman 08 conference. And I know that message meant so much to the women in the audience that day as they were challenged to give to the Lord their fear and to forgive those who had wronged them. After Karen spoke that morning, we listened to the story of Lorna Wilkinson. Like Karen, Lorna was faced with a challenge. Would she forgive? Let's listen to Lorna's story.
The first 11 years of my marriage after Pascal and I were married were wonderful years, you know, that we experienced loving each other, having the children, sharing them, enjoying them. And after then, something went wrong. My husband started drinking very heavily and became an alcoholic. I started displaying my anger and bitterness in that relationship by withholding. I grew bitter and frustrated and in a sense wanting to lash back. We had one vehicle that we used to work, and he would frequently drop me off. And many, many times my husband did not come to pick me up. I was just there. And I had no place to go. You know, my children were at home alone, and I would just walk to the closest hotel that was available to me and spend the night there. I thought that the answer to my problems was divorce of my husband. I asked my husband to leave. When he left, we had one vehicle that we were using. And at that point, there was a need for a second vehicle for one of us. So I purchased a vehicle from a friend. And when I picked up the vehicle that evening, the dial was set on a Christian radio. Normally, I do not listen to Christian radio, but for some reason unknown to me at that time, I reached over to turn off the dial, and my hands just could not make it there. The next morning, going to work, Nancy Lee DeMoss came on. Her program spoke of forgiveness, total forgiveness, and submission to your husband in a family. That really touched my heart. I could not stop thinking about that all day long. Divorce at that point was apparent to me was not the answer, but God was. After I asked my husband to leave, he left. One night he called and said he was very sick. And I asked him, why don't you call 911? So in God's wisdom, he did. And I later learned that at that time, when he had called me, he had a heart attack. He had ended up in the hospital. After that happened, God had already touched my life in such a tremendous way that it could never be the same. And the Holy Spirit asked me to just go and speak to him and let him know that he should come home and that I loved him. After I forgave Pascal and asked him to forgive me, it's as though a total change occurred in our relationship. Pascal no longer had a need for drinking. Pascal became the type of husband that God wanted him to be. You know, we had many candlelight dinners together. You know, there was many sweet cards expressing his love and admiration and friendship together. It was a total and complete change in our relationship. On a Tuesday morning around 4 a.m., my husband woke me up and he said, Lorna, I just want to let you know that a man should love his wife with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. And I want you to know at this time that I love you that way. Around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was called at work and told that I needed to get home. When I got home, my son was at the door, and he said, "Mom, the ambulance just took Dad, and I think we've lost him." I said, "You know, Lord, when I prayed on Sunday, I asked you for healing, but you have gone one step further. You have given Pascal not just healing on earth, but eternal healing, life with you." I did not know that when God restored our marriage, that we only had 4 months together. The children remember those 4 months of their lives.
It was actually like a loving marriage, you know, like the kind you'd see on TV or something, you know. And I was able to experience something like that, for even if it was for a brief period. I now know what it's like, you know. When my mom offered my dad the forgiveness, you know, unconditionally, and we all saw that, I was able to release a lot of the, you know, things that I had to.
When we forgive, we release that burden. You have a victory. You have a freedom. You're loose, you know, and you're not anxious and frustrated, you know, because that burden is gone. And that's, you know, God speaks of that forgiveness. And once you forgive, you're free. You're free to serve God. You're free to really and truly be who God intends for you to be.
Not long ago, I was in Houston on our Revive tour, and I had the privilege to see Lorna again and to see how that woman is so filled with joy and with peace. And wow, what a blessing it was to see the long-term transformation in her life. You know, Lorna Wilkinson was able to hear Revive Our Hearts on the car radio that day thanks to listeners like you who donated so this program could be on the air. Those donations were far more than just a gift to this ministry. They proved to be a lifeline that the Lord used to radically change the direction of Lorna's life. And when you support Revive Our Hearts, you're making moments like that possible. You're helping women in all kinds of places and in all kinds of desperate life situations connect with the truth of God's Word right when they need to hear it. Here during the month of May, your gift will especially help us as we prepare to close the accounting books on another fiscal year. We're also preparing to head into the summer months when giving is usually lower. So we really need to hear from you this month. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, but you've never given to Revive Our Hearts before, now would be a great time to start. Would you ask the Lord if He would want you to make a gift at this time to help this ministry continue and be multiplied into many more women's lives? And when you donate any amount this month, we want to say thanks by sending you the second volume of a CD that's been very popular to our listeners. It's a collection of lullabies that are actually scripture set to music. It's called Hidden in My Heart. Just ask for this CD, the second volume of Hidden in My Heart, when you call 1-800-569-5959 to make your gift. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us online at reviveourhearts.com. Let us know how much you'd like to give, and then also be sure to request the CD, Hidden in My Heart.
Thanks, Nancy. On Monday, we'll hear from a couple who heard news no parents want to hear. Learn how God walked with them and how He'll walk with you through the most difficult moments in life. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Everything is possible.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.